Good, Nathan? All right. For all of you out in the parking lot, I was trying to get the lapel mic on, so we're good now. It's good to be with you tonight. I figure after this, you'll be looking forward to getting Wayne back, and that's good. You don't know what you got till it's gone. That's what they say. We'll talk to you tonight about, Gary and I talked about who's going to preach when, and I said, I think the sermon that I've got on my mind for Sunday is a Sunday night sermon. I think you'll see why. I want to talk to us as a congregation tonight. I don't think this will be a sermon that I ever repeat. It's a one-time thing. But I want to talk to you about where are we. So, you know, you get the State of the Union every year from the president. Well, this is the state of the congregation, and I'm not the president, but I think I have a good view of how we're doing as a group. So I thought let's talk about it. Let's think about it. Let's start off with, it's got two sections here, the lesson. One's our current situation, and the next one, and probably the more important one, is the future. Where are we going? What are we doing? Let's talk about where we are. Let's start with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 6 through 11. I'm going to look the verses up with you. That slows me down. One of the criticisms I get when I preach is that I get to the verses too fast, and I read them too fast, and people that like to follow along in their Bibles can't get there. It is getting better now that everybody's Bible's in their phone. You can flip through that phone a lot faster than you can flip through a physical Bible. So people can follow you pretty quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 11. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it, but each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So when it comes to our current situation, I would start off by telling you that we have people here who are sowing the seed. We have people here who are doing the work. We have people here that are laboring, and God is giving the increase. There are people that are part of this congregation that consistently are behind every undertaking we have as a group. You can count on them. They're a part. We have a healthy percentage of people here that take ownership in our congregation, not just... They don't have the customer mentality. They believe that they're a part of an organization that's ordained by God and that they have an active part in, and it reflects on them as a person. How we as a group look to this community, how we work in God's kingdom, reflects on me and it reflects on you. I think we've got a good group of people here. Oh, we're 100%? No, I doubt any congregation is 100%. We'd have no one who needed milk if that were the case. But we have a good group here who is convinced that they have a responsibility. We have people here who quietly go about their work and people who loudly go about their work. I'm up here loudly doing it tonight because I'm preaching. But we got people who will never grace this pulpit, but they're at work. You'd be surprised at some of the right hand knows not what the left hand doing stories that I could tell you that are going on here all the time. And I dare say that I don't know half of those stories. But they're happening. People that are encouraging in the way they know how. Another good thing that tells me that we have people here that are sowing and God has given an increase is our kids are coming to faith. I'm not going to list every one of them, but I'm going to list the ones that have been recently. Mallory, last summer. Haley, this summer. Abby. Hayden Dixon, which, man, I miss your family, Lauren, when they're not here. They're, you know, look like about a third of us back there are gone when the Dixons go out of town. Anyway, we can't wait to have them back. We're glad to have Hayden in the family. And Chandler Smith has obeyed the gospel. That's good stuff, folks. That's really good stuff. We need to be giving thanks to God for bringing the increase. We have new workers here, and I think they're eager to contribute. I'm not going to list everybody, so don't get your feelings hurt. But I want to give a couple examples. I don't know about for the rest of you, but the Gee family is a big shot in the arm for the Henleys. They're good for us. Glad we have picked up the Gee family. We've got the Parrish family that Donald said, I want to get to know you people. And he was the one that had the idea, let's all go float the river. That was Donald. We've picked up the Palmer family that's also related to them, and they are wanting to be in the middle of us as well. Terry and her daughters are here. Every time the doors are open, you can count on them. They're going to be here. And now we've got the Hyman family, the newest folks that have joined us, and I don't know you that well yet. I look forward to getting to know you. But I can tell you from what little I have been around them, I don't think they're spectators. I don't think we have to worry about whether or not they're going to come in here and do their part. I think they're going to. We got quite a few new faces around this congregation, and I am grateful for that. And you should be uplifted, you older members that have been here a while. And we've still got our anchors. Sue's still sitting back there with Winfrey. And I think we've got a lot to be grateful for. We've got people who are willing to do the work here. That said, we're not 100% on buy-in. Like I said, I don't think any congregation is, but we can't rest on that. I think we have to look at that. We have some members who have sat down. They've just sat down. Some of them have become inspectors. Every congregation has them. Every organization has them. They've got the folks that don't like the way somebody teaches class or the way they preach or the way they lead singing or the other decisions the elders have made about this, that, or the other. They see that something needs to be done and that somebody else needs to do it. And it should have been recognized long ago by someone besides me. We got folks that are looking to switch teams. They like the product that other congregations or other groups are sowing. Brethren, we are, listen to the ways God describes the kingdom. Well, first, the kingdom. You are citizens in a kingdom. Not audience members at a show. Okay? We are described as parts in a body. We are described as vine dressers in a vineyard. Soldiers in an army. And that's enough about that. Some folks are just tired. Some of us need reviving. We don't use the word revival. We say gospel meeting. And some people object to the word revival, period. They say revival implies you're dead. I'm not meaning you're dead. There's definitely folks that need strengthening. They are tired. And brethren, we got a gospel meeting come up, and I have been told that we'll probably never have another man visit here who's got more ability than this guy. Is that fair to say? That's what I hear. I've never heard him preach a single sermon, but I am excited to have this guy come. Gary says if we tried to book him again, it'd be years in the making. So he's just a man, but apparently he's able to deliver the word in a really good way. Now, I got something. I thought about preaching the whole sermon on this subject, but I'll just put in one plug. If this guy's as good as Gary says he is, I don't even know what all we're paying him. I can look and find out. But let's not waste his time and let's not waste our money, the Lord's money. What do I mean by that? And I'm preaching to me. Let's put somebody in this seat besides yourself for this gospel meeting. Let's do that. And I'll be done with my gospel meeting sermon, Gary. Some folks are just discouraged. Life can kick you in the mouth. I realize that I have been kicked in the mouth. I'm 45 and live long enough to have my mouth kicked a few times. I got that from David Strachner. It's a very good way of looking at it. Sometimes life just kicks you in the mouth. That happens. We've got folks who have sat down because life has kicked them in the mouth. But overall, brethren, I think we have got a good army here. I think that we can get the people who have sat down to stand up. I believe that we can get the weak to go back to pulling on the rope. I believe we have what it takes to keep moving. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I would tell you tonight that you could say to this congregation that same thing. Rejoice. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Pray. Give thanks. And finally, verse 7, the peace of God will surpass all comprehension. Brethren, I want to speak particularly about a particular aspect of peace. We are at peace as a group. We have unity here. The total population of troublemakers amongst our brethren today, so far as I know, is zero. That's good. I've been in churches that had their troublemakers. They cause trouble with their mama. They cause trouble for the boss. They cause trouble for their church. They cause trouble with the cousin. They cause trouble with their neighbor because they are troublemakers. And the Bible talks about them. And I don't think we have any of them. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. That doesn't mean we don't ever have any disagreements here. I know we do. But we don't have people who entertain themselves by disrupting the kingdom. And I'm grateful for that. I know you're sick of hearing about COVID-19 and everything to do with it. Me too. I'll mention it briefly. It's beaten us up a bit, but it has not licked us, has it? I don't think we've even had an infection here so far. We have not been tempted to split our services. Other congregations have been. What do I mean? I mean, they're being tempted to do things that are questionably wise. Like tell half of you to come A through J and the rest of you to come later K through Z. And what do you got when you do that? Well, you got two churches with one set of leaders and one building is what you got. And they say, well, we got to do it because of COVID. And don't get me wrong. I'm not jealous of that situation and I'm glad we're not in it. We haven't had to make that choice. But I think that opens the door to some long-term problems if you get a congregation thinking that we don't congregate as a group, we congregate in pieces, and that's fine. Because, brethren, what makes us a congregation is the fact that we congregate, the fact that we assemble. We have been able to assemble here. Has it always been exactly the way we would prefer it? No, but it's been done. One way or another way, it's been done. Some semblance of normal the entire time. We have not had, I don't think we've had a great number of people who have just fallen out of the habit of coming to assembly because of COVID-19. Brethren, there are congregations that are going to have the weak members who needed to be uplifted. Those congregations are going to lose a lot of weak members because they're going to lose the habit of assembly. We're blessed that we have not had that temptation like some have. Let's look at Luke chapter 12, verse 48, the last half. Luke chapter 12, verse 48, the last half. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to him who has entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. Man, it's true. The scripture says it, and you see it every day at work. You'll see it every day with every group of people. If you'll do it, they'll let you. If you will take care of the situation, they'll hand you more to take care of. So does the Lord. So does the Lord. The parable tells you that. To the man who has five talents and went out there and did a lot with him, give him some more. That's what God will do. As a servant who says, I can never repay what I'm owed, we should say, good. Brethren, I'm sitting here telling you that we've been blessed here. And I'm telling you that this congregation has a debt they cannot pay. And we have much required of us. There are people in this world, there are congregations in this world, there are congregations not that far from us, where getting up on Sunday morning and getting to services is something that a lot of people are discouraged about. But I'm not. I'm not. We have expectations. The Lord expects us to produce. We are positioned to harvest. We have every demographic here. I was talking to the Hymans about that just the other day. I said, you know, we've got babies, toddlers, we've got little kids, teenagers, middle-aged folks raising kids, folks that have just recently empty nested, and we've got older folks. We have every demographic here. I've been in churches you cannot say that about. We have an eldership here. I've been in church most of my life where I couldn't say that. We have deacons. We have every talent that is required to succeed. We have people that can teach, song lead. We have people that are extroverts. We have people that are introverts. We have creative people. We have people that are analytical. We've got everything here. There's not one thing God's asked of us that we don't have the talent to do. We have a sound preacher who works hard. We have all the finances we need to pay the bills. We just paid off this building. We are positioned for harvest. And I'm parroting Wayne when we say that, aren't we, Gary? We're positioned to harvest here. Well, that's where we are. At least that's the way it looks from Jason Henley's seat. I want to talk to you about where we're going to. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 through 27. For even as one body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, or whether we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not the hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all of one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. Brethren, we have all the pieces, as I've already said, and we have added to those pieces with these babes in Christ and with these new members. These new members, these new folks that have decided to be a part of us, they need to feel more than just welcome. These new Christians need to be more than just here. They need to be taught. These folks that have talents that are not currently being used, that they may not even realize they have, Gary, we got to find a way to enable these people. If they could be a Bible class teacher, we need to get them to do that. We need to, while we've got wise men to correct mistakes and coach and teach, we need to have them doing that. We need to take people that could be hospitable and have some of the folks that are really good at hospitality say, would you help me be hospitable? We need some of the older ladies who are in that, forgive me, what is the name that you ladies get together periodically? Secret Sisters. We need that to be something that we are teaching to these younger women, that they will pull together as a group as they get older. We need to put these folks, these new converts and these new members, we need to put them to work. What else is coming up? What else is part of our future? We have college kids coming. I hope we do. And I'll give you some thoughts about what I believe is the responsibility of this congregation because we're in a college town. Brethren, when these kids show up here, I was one of those kids once. And I've got a couple questions for you. When you send your kid off to college and they leave your town and go somewhere else, how do you want the church to respond to them showing up when they get there? Your daughter knows about that. She's gone off to college in Conway. You're interested in how those congregations respond to her, aren't you? Of course you are. I will tell you, brethren, that you have a responsibility when those college kids show up here. They're at a vulnerable point. I don't care that they're going to Harding. I know it's a Christian college, and that's wonderful. But it's still a vulnerable point because nobody's going to drag them out of bed and bring them to services. They're going to get presented with ideas, even here, that are new and different than the way they were raised. And that's healthy, but it's vulnerable. Harding is a part of the field to sow in. They're right here. And we have responsibilities when those kids show up. Some of those kids are going to be here because they've been raised in a conservative church and they have looked and they have found a conservative group and it's us and they're going to be here because that's what they're looking for, because that's what mom and dad have taught them to look for. Let's just say they come from a congregation that's weak. And they are Christians, but they're vulnerable. And they get here. What kind of church do those kids need to be a part of? A nearly dead one? A group that I'm not sure they know my name. Some of those kids are going to be here because they've been to a strong congregation. And then when they get here, they're used to a lot of support. Are we going to be a big disappointment? Some of them are going to be here because they're looking for a smaller group to be a part of. There are a lot of big old churches in this town. And some of them aren't going to know conservative from anything else. They're going to come here because we're smaller. Brethren, the church does not need to try to mimic the worldview that is pervasive in the Christian world today. And when those kids show up here, it's our opportunity to show them that Christianity is not complicated. And that the church doesn't have to have a pyramid structure to function. And that you can just be simply a Christian and that's all. That's our opportunity to put those thoughts and that training into those kids. And some of them are going to show up here because Colton brought them. I don't know if you don't see Colton tonight, but man, he brings a lot of kids in here. I hope my son drags some of them in here. He's fixing to go over the university side. He's going to get to meet people from Iowa and Colorado and Nebraska and everywhere else around this country. I hope he drags them in here. They need to see that just because we are conservative, we're not dead. Let's go to Luke 22, 31 and 32. Luke 22, 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail you, and you, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Brethren, we have people here that are weary and they need to be tended to. We have people whose health has become a serious distraction to their walk. It's very difficult to be about the work of the kingdom when you're having trouble with your health. Huge distraction. And you may think that sounds funny to say, but really, brethren, that's exactly how we should look at our life here. Even when we're clinging to our health, at the end of our journey, the way we ought to look at it is I want my health back because I got work to do. Otherwise, what's Paul say we should be hoping for? To go. And if it isn't time to go, then we got work to do because we're Christians. Brethren, we have people here like Gene Ward, like Norma Lewis, that need us to be holding their arms up at this point in their life. We have people here that are struggling with sin. We have people here that are struggling with their faith. We have people here who are trying to develop their own faith. We have people here who have lost dear family members, a bunch of them, as a matter of fact. Mr. Marsh has lost his wife of 60? 70? I forgot the number, but it's impressive years that he was with that lady. 67 years. And she's gone. And that ain't been long ago. And it still looks funny for you to sit there by yourself, Jimmy. Mr. Marsh is adjusting to a new reality. So is Brenda McGuire. So is Retha, Mark, and Colton. We need to be there for those people as they adjust to their new reality. We have people that are on the edge of the congregation, and they have been on the edge of the congregation for a long time, and it's going to require some of us to reach out there and grab them and bring them in closer for them and for us. And you know what? My personality really grates on some people, so I may not be the person to do that. So if you think you are my polar opposite, well, there's work for you too. Because there's people out there that you may be the perfect person to draw in a little closer. Half of you are going, yeah, you great on me. A young man right over there reminded me of a job we've got to do. COVID-19's here, but what are you, 15? 16? He's only going to be 16 for 1 year. I only get to teach Isaac, the 16-year-old, for 1 year. And he looked at me and said, I'm ready to have class. COVID or not, we've got to teach our kids. And we don't have the rest of our lives to plan on it. We're going to have to do it. We have people that need to be tended to, folks. That's part of our future. Let's look at Mark 16, 15, and 16, as if though you even need me to flip to that one, but we will. Mark 16, 15, and 16. Mark, I said it wrong. Mark 16, 15, and 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. but he who has not believed shall be condemned. Brethren, we have missions to support. The one that's obvious is Dominator. Okay, it's not spelled that way, in my defense. Dom Neniel is in the Philippines. This congregation has been supporting him since I was a 20-something year old, attending at the old building when we were Hannah and Nathan. Back then, he was over there preaching the gospel in the Philippines. He's still over there. I just got through mentioning that we've paid this facility off, and we want to use those funds to spread the gospel. We have an opportunity at the door. You want to preach the gospel, not the social gospel? Well, that's what we intend to do. You want to be part of a congregation that's committed to the message of Christ and not a Kiwanis Club with a coat of paint on it? Nothing wrong with the Kiwanis Club, but this isn't one. It doesn't matter what you paint on it. That's not what we're supposed to be. Well, you're in the right place, because I don't think we're going to have... That's not what we're going to do with your contribution to the kingdom. And brethren, the most concrete down-to-earth one that every one of us should feel the weight of is every last one of us have friends, family, co-workers that need Jesus, they need instruction, they need to know more about the Bible, they need familiarity with Christians. And they need to be here. You ever thought about that? They need to be here. They need you to invite them. They need you to talk to them about Jesus Christ. We have missions to support. We have work to do. So I'll get real specific about that work and then I'll close. If you're one of those folks with a sack of seed and you're on your feet and you're doing what you can with what is given you, right down to the cup of cold water that you've been handed, well, God bless you. Good and faithful servant, and I know we can count on you going forward. If you're one of the folks who have slipped into being a critic, we all need criticism. I've sat up here tonight and been critical a little bit. We all need constructive criticism if it's for the right purposes, if it's with good motivations. But you know what? The problems are not going to fix themselves. They're going to require somebody to do something. And maybe if you've had the wisdom to see the problem, perhaps you should be part of the solution too. Matthew chapter 7, the first three verses, "Do not judge so you will not be judged, for in the way you judge you will be judged, and by your standard of measure you will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" We usually think about that, about sins of commission. We look to that verse when it comes to things that people are doing. But I would tell you that it is every bit as applicable to sins of omission. If you're looking around and you see something that's not being done, a group that's not being tended to, then do it. Do it. That's a speck and a mote just as surely as a sin. Because it is a sin when you know to do good and don't do it. If you leave services every time you're here with a list of what's wrong instead of what's right, try a little introspection. This is hard for me. Try a little glass is half full thinking. I'm a glass half empty guy. Try out that optimism a little bit. What's right about you as a Christian? What's right about this church? And give God a little credit for making all things possible, even with sinners like us. Mark chapter 10 and verse 27. Looking at them, Jesus said, "With people, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible with God." He's talking about the eye of the needle and the camel in that particular passage. Brethren, I'm telling you that it's not even a big stretch to think that we could do really good things here. And we have God on our side. When it comes to the new Christians, I'll just go ahead and get this confession out front. Some of the stuff I'm about to say steps on my toe too. So let's get that out of the way. I don't stand up here as somebody who's got it all just right. I'm watching these two guys every day and learning how I'm insufficient all the time. It's good for me. When it comes to the new Christians, these folks that I've listed that have obeyed the gospel lately, have you said something to them? You. Not them. You. Have you said something to them? Have you sent them a card? Have you prayed? Are you praying specifically for them by their name? Lord, be with Abby. She's at a tough age, and I could have said that about any of the rest of them because they all are. Concerning the new families that have joined us, have you met them? Have you taken them out to eat? Have you invited them to your home? I know COVID has made that uncomfortable. We sat today trying to figure out how we're going to have a get-together at our house safely. And I know there's 100 million opinions about what that even means right now. But brethren, we've got to be about the work of the kingdom. Let's find a way to do it. Concerning the college kids we're likely to have join us soon, when they get here, meet them. They typically sit right over there where the Dixons are. They may have to find a new spot because the Dixons have just about filled up that section back there. Have them over for some home cooking. They'll get sick of Aramark or whatever it is up here at Harding quick enough. I've told y'all this before, I'll remind you again. When I was in college with my wife, I got married in college, and we had an old lady that lived four or five blocks from the building, and she invited us over every other Sunday night, and we ate leftovers from where she had fed her family that day. We need more people that just do with what they can, with what they got, like that old lady did. And yes, we enjoyed her home cooking, because Kim didn't know how yet. Maybe you need to adopt one of them and start feeding them regularly and study the Bible with them and start taking them to your family activities. And I don't say this to loft me and my wife any. I say this to let you know that that's not theory. But sometimes it seems like we're just not willing to go to that extent with these people, with these college kids. And I think I'm challenging you when the new college kid shows up, I'm challenging you to do this. At Batesville, we had zero, maybe one college kid at Lyon College would be a member of the church or be interested in the church and show up at our congregation. And one of them showed up one time, and because we almost never saw a college kid, we were excited. There's a college kid! And my wife and her name is Emma Kemper. We invited her over and we fed her a meal. And then we invited her to one of our kids' baseball games, and she came. And then we said, Emma, where are you spiritually? And we found out that Emma had only been a Christian. Well, Emma became a Christian at our congregation. So we said, what do you not know? And we found out what she didn't know, and we started studying it. And when we got done with that, we started studying something else. She came over every Wednesday, and we fed her. And we studied the Bible for an hour, and we took her to Wednesday night class, and we did that for years. And that world comes back to see us every year from Colorado. When she comes here to Arkansas to see family, she comes to see the Henleys. She loves us, and we love her. Get you one. Would you? About the weary, what was the last card that you sent to anybody? What's the last phone call you made? Are they on your prayer list? Do you have a prayer list? Do you run off as fast as amen is said, or do you seek out people that need encouragement and do it? I know you have to do it outside right now, but that's okay. A little sweat didn't kill our ancestors. It won't kill us either. And finally, on the specific parts concerning our missions, I got to close it up, Gary. When I don't preach very often, I get long-winded, and I've done it. I'm at 40 minutes, and I need to stop. Concerning our missions, have you ever considered sending a personal gift to the missionary, a missionary? And I'll give you one that is meaningful to me. One time, we knew a man personally that went overseas, and we had nothing to do with this. The missionary did. He came to my son at the time, who was little, Eli, and he said, "There's a little boy that I'm going to see over there in the Philippines, and he's got these health issues. Is there anything you'd like to give him?" And Eli, what are you going to say? No. So, of course, he put something together to give him, and he got something back from that kid. And what does that mean? It means that you can teach a kid who's a little kid that there are Christians in the other parts of the world like them who don't have it as good as they got it. You don't have to go to the Philippines to get it. I've got a member of the congregation at Batesville who now lives in Montana. He texts with me quite often. He fell away for a long time. He's lonely. He don't have a lot of support up there. You got a kid that needs a pen pal. I'll ask Joey to get him one. And I know a pen pal sounds like an antiquated old thing. If he needs a Facebook friend in a church in Montana where there's not but two other kids in the whole church, well, then maybe we can arrange that. Our congregation has a lot to be grateful for, folks. We have a lot of work to do. To borrow from JFK, yes, that's a 1960s dead president, for those of you who are not old enough to know. To borrow from JFK, stop asking what this congregation can do to help you and start asking, what can you do to be about God's work with this group of Christians in this place? Would you? Would you help us do that? Would you help us feel about this congregation the same way next year, which is that we are headed in the right direction here? Would you be a part of that? Be encouraged. I think we're accomplishing the Lord's work here. Let's just do more because we can. If you're here tonight and you're not doing what you can, well, start. If you need to let the team know that you've let us down, I guarantee you we've all let the team down. I know I have more than once. If you're here tonight and you're not on the team and you want to be on the team, there's no better group of people. The Kiwanis is good, but the church is the most important organization on earth. We are the salt. If you're here tonight and you want to be a Christian, we'd love to help you do that. Let us know while we stand and sing.